Okay, we're just connecting, Marie from the business constituency representing the chair of that group. With that, I'd like to welcome everyone to this meeting. We will have the call recorded, so if you could start the recording, please. Thank you. This is August 17th, discussion with Joran Marvi concerning the ICANN meeting venue selection and some other information relating to our ICANN meetings. We thank you all for participating on this call today. It's a very important topic and information we want to share with you. We have a well-represented group from the various supporting organizations, advisory committees, and stakeholder groups and constituencies and RALOs. And we thank you for that. The agenda is as follows. I will serve as moderator with some other of my colleagues providing some inputs. There will be opening remarks by Joran, a discussion by Nick and Sally commenting on the meeting locations, questions that were earlier raised on the list from Joran about this topic, the meeting format, relating to the meeting strategies, structure of ICANN meetings going forward, as well as meeting dates, some next steps, and then AOB. If there is agreement on this agenda, we will move forward. And with that, I thank everyone and turn it over to Joran for his opening remarks. Joran, please.
Hello, everybody. Kurt, I have some problems with no connection because I get kicked out. Could someone please tell if I'm actually connected or not?
We can hear you, Joran, and we see you in the room. So proceed, and hopefully that will make sure that any changes will get you back online.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. First of all, I would like to thank you for taking the opportunity to have this call. And I'm really the listening today. And the reason is that I'm trying to encompass some of the discussions that we have in the corridors in a more fruitful way, maybe. And it boils down to maybe three different discussions that's been going around. And I'm asking really because I want to make sure that we as the ICANN organization are trying to or getting to a point where we understand what to do from now. So there are really three things that we're talking about, and that's the meeting locations. I did send you out a letter about that before, during the last meetings, people have approached me about what I, in easy terms, called human rights issues. That was, for instance, debated in Johannesburg and before that, and it's also been raised to me and the board in open sessions. And when I say human rights, without making any judgment on it, things like gender issues, democratic principles, and so on, are not only the practical ones. And I don't see that it's in the sort of book of rules of today, and therefore there should be a new discussion. The second, of course, is the meeting format. The meeting has now been gone a fruit cycle. For instance, we're now heading into the Abu Dhabi meeting, which is the annual general meeting, and which is also a long meeting. And I wanted to hear a little bit about your perspective on that. Is it time to open that discussion? And again, how do we reference that back to the community, and how do we do it? Pointing out that we have a long planning cycle because of the meeting size and run organization. So after we've done a change, a little bit depending on where we are in the calendar, it could take a very long time we can actually implement it. Shorter meetings is probably easier. Longer meetings or different dates become more problematic. And we will also present to you, or Nick will, we have proposals for a new meeting timing schedule. For a couple of years ahead. I'm feeling older just looking at it, and I hope we can have a conversation about it. After some of the reactions around religious holidays and other holidays, I know my team has tried to find good compromises when it comes to encompassing that. It turns out there is always, it seems to be often religious holidays or events in many parts of the world at many during the full year. So it's not an easy task to do that. With that, I think I will leave over to David back. May I open up to just talk about the meeting locations and stuff, and just do a poll. I will ask David to moderate the discussion so I can participate in it. What is the general consensus about what I will add to human rights? We received some comments. Most of the comments we received seems to be, and I'm focusing just on the meeting locations, that we should carry on with the traveling around the world. So I open the floor for comments.
Very good, Joran. I think maybe I'll go to Nick for a kind of a summary of others' kind of comments.
Well, thank you, David. We have, in response to the email, the letter that Joran sent, we did get a number of responses, most notably from James Liddell, Patrick Folstrom, Frazine, Glenn McKnight, and I know I'm missing one or two here, Katrina, and the focus, if James was really focused on possibly having the meeting strategy, the original meeting strategy working group or a new community group examine the issues and make a recommendation. Patrick said that, suggested that we should look at what IETF does and perhaps steal what we could for something effective for ICANN. I will note that in the process of reviewing the IETF process, they do encourage comments on proposed locations. As far as visas are concerned, they realize that not every country will allow every individual in, but they talk about the overwhelming majority being permitted in. They make no political considerations. This discussion was prompted by a decision on Singapore and the LGBTQ issues, and after careful consideration, they decided to continue to hold IETF 100 in Singapore. So, Patrick, thank you for that. I have worked with Ray Pelletier over the years, and he was very helpful in providing all of the background information. Farzaneh also suggested an approach similar to IETF. Glenn McKnight reported back to us and suggested we consider things like accessibility for those with special needs, democratic principles, sexual preference and gender considerations, as well as a broad statement on religious holidays, realizing that this proposes a big problem. Katrina suggested that the SOACs are planning to look back on the way the new strategy works for their organization, for the CCNSO, and she was wondering if the other SOACs were going to do that. She suggests that the criteria for the choice of meeting venues needs to be discussed and clarified. So that's really the basis of our comments. With that, I'll turn it over to Sally for a moment for some of her comments. Please, Sally, and then we can continue the discussion, and I'm happy to answer any questions if there are any at this time.
Thank you, Nick. It's Sally Costerson here. Thank you all for coming on this call. This has been a long-running range of issues, which many of us have discussed, as Joran says, in the corridors, on calls, in one-to-ones, over the past couple of years, as we've been road testing implementation of the meeting strategy working group proposals that were put together by the community through a long-running, a very thorough bottom-up process. So I'd be interested to hear both sort of from you, what do you think we should be doing differently in terms of, as Joran put it, of the rules, the criteria that we set from where we are today? And what format do you think we should take? By which I mean, do people think we should either reopen the previous meeting strategy working group, or should we structure more formal reviews on a maybe SOAC by SOAC basis? Or would do people think we should put together a new working group with a different brief? It would be very helpful to get a sense of the sort of what, not just what, but what next perspective from the group. And I guess that applies to the broader question of format and dates, as well as the location-specific one, which is more about, well, what kind of criteria, what kind of format should those criteria take? Should we be updating the rules, and if so, in what way? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sally and Nick. If we then, on item of meeting locations, continue with the views on the criteria, including should we continue the rotation around the globe for our ICANN meetings, of course noting and understanding some of the human rights, genders, and other concerns, but that the engagement principle may indeed be the one that we need as a priority. With that, I will open the floor up to other comments, and we thank Nick for the summary of others who have done that. We're also trying to put up a poll that might be helpful for people to just get a temperature in the room of the general direction or views of some people, and that we can also do if you'd like that as a helpful tool. Please, again, I see we have 11 responses. Another minute or so for people to express a preference. One more minute here. Okay. I think last call. Very good. We see that there is a very strong view that we want to make sure the rotation around the world continues, and we also note the other concerns involved, but that engagement needs would be possibly the criteria for us. Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions on that particular issue as we move forward to the next part of that, the meeting format? Olivier, thank you for your comment in the chat. Seems to go to this next element about implementation. Farzaneh, your hand is up, please.
Thank you, David. Farzaneh ID speaking. I am the chair of NTUC, but this is my personal comment on the issue. I see that there are several times that there is emphasis that in meetings, when we are deciding on the location of ICANN meetings, we should also consider the democratic principles of various countries that we go to. I you know, totally disagree with this approach. I think if we do this, then we are going to lack engagement from normal people that actually live in those countries, and I don't think we should consider democratic principles as some criterion for choosing the location, because democratic principle itself is a very arbitrary thing, because there are some countries that are authoritarian but they say they are democratic. But so I'm totally against having, like, considering democratic principles of one country when we go there. And I think it is very beneficial for people that live in countries where it lacks freedom to engage with people from outside and not be isolated. And I say this from experience. It is very, very important for people to actually engage with outsiders when they are, especially when they are oppressed. So I do want to emphasize this, and this is only my personal view. NCUC as a whole does not have they have not come to consensus. There are various views on this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Farzaneh. Alan Greenberg, you are next.
Thank you very much. A couple of points. I think when we ask questions like, should we consider human rights or should we consider gender issues, I think we have to understand what the implications are of that. You know, we've been told there's only a limited number of sites around the world that can hold a meeting, you know, and I presume it's a different subset for the large meetings versus the small meetings. But it would be really useful to understand how that set gets restricted if we start imposing rules. And I fully understand the difficulty of classifying a place as human rights issues or not, or gender issues or not, because there's a lot of places where it may be a grayer issue. So I think if we're going to ask those questions, we really need to understand the implications of the answer and not just answer in isolation on the particular subjects. On the issue of the meeting strategy, and I'll be very candid, when this process was going on, certainly within a number of the ACs and SOs, although we had people very actively participating, the overall group was the AC and SO did not pay much attention. And yes, we ratified the results, and only way after they were ratified did we start understanding what the implications were of that decision. So I'm going to suggest that to the extent that we do anything to modify it in any global way, as opposed to tweaking as we go forward, and I do believe it needs some of that, we really have to make sure we are engaging and not just have a nominee sitting in a group without appropriate, you know, sufficient communication. I can go into the reasons of why that happened, but it doesn't really matter at this point. I think that is a reality, and I don't think there was a good understanding of what we did. But I will say that ever since we've gone to the new meeting strategy, the meetings have gotten more and more difficult. You know, maybe ICANN is just dealing with more subjects, I don't know. But the scheduling is getting more and more complex, not easier each time, and the number of overlaps and conflicts seems to grow and never decrease. Thank you. If David is speaking, we can't hear him.
Thank you, Alan. Nick, would you care to comment for us on the challenges of finding locations appropriate for the size of the meetings that we are now dealing with?
Yes, David, thank you. I'd be happy to. The finding venues, especially in developing countries, are very difficult. Hence our goal to put meetings, the middle of the year meeting, the policy forum, in Africa and Latin America. And yet what we're finding is that even for those what we call smaller meetings, our requirements are very large. So almost as large as they are for meeting the AGM and the community forum. So it is extremely difficult. And it's not dependent on the number of delegates who attend. More so it's dependent on the number of concurrent sessions that we run and the types of room setups that we require. So that said, there are a limited number of all of the thousands of venues in the world. There are a limited number that can actually accommodate an ICANN meeting. And then, of course, it needs to be available over the meeting dates that we choose in advance. And those meeting dates are based on avoiding major global or international, if you will, national and religious holidays, as well as the other conferences that some of our delegates typically attend, like the IETF, for instance. So it has become more and more difficult over time. If we add other elements to it, other criteria, if you will, political implications, human rights issues, LGBT, of course, that makes the pool even smaller. So that is just a very basic overview of where we find ourselves today in actually being able to identify that venues that are suitable and available.
Thank you, Nick. Any other comments or questions? We were going to look at another poll that looked at the meeting format. We've heard some comments that the annual general meeting that we're soon to have in Abu Dhabi might be too long. We've heard comments that maybe the policy forum might be a day too short. And that the community forum, a kind of a standard five-day meeting, might be that compromise or balance. But these might be the incremental changes, and so that is the kind of next poll of the preference for some sort of incremental change that you think might be a next step before we go through any formal review, let's say.
David, may I make a comment about that?
Yes, of course, Nick. Sure.
Before we get too far into the polling process. So I look at the meeting structure as it exists today with a community forum of 6 days, a policy forum of 4 days, and a annual general meeting of 7 days. Changes to that I see as incremental. So, for instance, you could add a day to the policy forum, or based on what we have seen for the last 2 years, possibly shorten the annual general meeting by a day. Those are incremental changes that I don't think would require a very large debate or a reinstitution of the meeting strategy working group or another similar working group to examine that. However, there is another side to this, and that is, you know, do we want to make some fundamental changes in the three-meeting rotation? It has been brought to our attention a couple of times that perhaps because of the wide acceptance by the SOACs of the policy forum, should we have two policy forums a year, which then I think would require a much broader discussion and work. So I look at it as twofold. You have, incremental changes, and you have fundamental changes. So I'd like to hear some feedback on the incremental changes perhaps first and the fundamental changes second.
Very good distinction. Thank you very much, Nick. That's very well done. Alan Greenberg, you are next for comments.
Thank you.
Incremental changes?
Thank you. One of the incremental changes suggested was shorten the AGM. I would maintain we already have, de facto. We just don't advertise it properly. The last day of meetings is for internal meetings only. Certainly the ALAC and the GNSO, I believe, both use them as meetings for integration of the new teams, and there are no public meetings scheduled. Yet we advertise the meeting as being on the Friday. And yet, certainly for our two groups, we hold no meetings other than for the 15 or 25 or 30 people who are actively involved in the particular AC and SO. So if that is indeed how we're using that Friday, I think we need to be honest, if nothing else, to make sure people book, make reservations that are appropriate, because people tend to make their air reservations and hotel reservations long before we have the detailed schedule out. So I think we need to be honest about that, and that effectively shortens that meeting for a day to a large bulk of the community. So that's certainly something I think is important. With regard to making things like two policy meetings, I have a real problem with the fact that we have put a label on a meeting, and that then controls what's going on. You will recall that the policy meeting used to be an outreach meeting when it was only going to be held in small communities that wouldn't hold our meeting. Then we held it in Helsinki because of a change in venue, and since we could not do any outreach in the summer in Helsinki, we decided to call it a policy meeting. But that then has other implications. So I think we need to be very careful about making sure that we have meetings that are useful to the groups and to our community, and not just strictly based on a title that we happen to have put on it, in that case, almost by accident. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Donna, and then I think Nick has his hand up again as well. Donna, please. Donna?
All right, can you hear me, David?
Now we can. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I was talking to myself. Just to Alan's last point, the policy forum wasn't by accident. The policy forum was actually was a specific recommendation out of the meeting strategy working group. So there was always the intent that of the three meetings a year, there would be a policy forum. And that's how it wasn't just an accident that we came up with the naming of it. It was actually a deliberate recommendation from the meeting strategy working group. On your first point about, the last day for this upcoming meeting, I agree that it is becoming a wasted day. I think the only way that we could change that is if the AGM and the policy forum, not the policy forum, the public forum was actually on the Friday. But I think with that being on the Thursday, everybody is going to try to get out of town earlier. And I agree with Nick's distinction about, whether this is a, shortening the days is a, it's not a substantive change. I think personally, I think 7 days is turning out to be too long, and I agree that if we work, I'm a strong advocate of having two policy meetings during the year, but I understand that others don't agree with that. But if we were to make a substantive change like that, then it would require a broader discussion. So I agree with the way that Nick has categorized that. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Donna. Nick, did you have an intervention? Did you have a comment before we go to Karzanay and Sally?
Yes, I do, David. Thank you. I want to specifically address Alan's comments. And Alan, I agree. The AGM, or as it was better known when the Meeting Strategy Working Group created it, Meeting C, the extra day was added specifically for the types of meetings that you just discussed. So, and the other thing that's important to note is that the schedule for the meetings are set by the SOs and ACs. And if they're not putting anything on Friday, well, then that's how we find ourselves in this situation. My personal experience has been that Friday nothing gets booked, but it doesn't get booked because the meetings team doesn't book them. Nothing gets booked because the SOs and ACs don't book them. So I agree that perhaps we ought to shorten that by a day, and to your point about people making their travel plans. So I just wanted to agree with you on that statement. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. Farzaneh and then Sally Costerton. Farzaneh.
Thank you, David. I disagree with Donna's interpretation, and I think she was a part of that working group on meeting strategy. And at the time, if you remember, in Helsinki, we were not even calling it policy forum. We were calling it meeting B. And then Joran said, why aren't you calling it policy forum? And it was at that time that we started calling it policy forum. And before that, the working group specifically set aside one day, Monday, to do outreach. So it was outreach and policy. Never it said that it should be a policy or it should be named as such. This is my interpretation from what I read from the report. And because we keep calling it policy forum, then the groups and some people just do not consider doing outreach for like one day outreach, and this has happened. I raised objections last time. It even happened for the policy meeting was in Copenhagen that they also. I raised this objection that we are not doing outreach, and they said, well, I'm not, oh, it was Johannesburg. They said, well, I'm not going to travel to Johannesburg just for 3 days and just have one day of outreach. And this was like one of the arguments, which I think, I don't think it is what the working group suggested. We need to have outreach for one day, and then you can have 3 day policy. So it is policy and outreach. And I have had discussions with other groups about this, and they are just some of them just don't want to allocate that one day to outreach. If you don't want to do that, then I think you can just clearly state it, and let's just think about if we can just call it policy and not do outreach. I also raised it with the CEO. Sorry, I'm talking too much, but I also raised it with Joran, and Joran specify that, well, we do outreach in all the meetings, yes, but we also do a policy in all the meetings at ICANN. So if I think we need to either add that outreach element to the title and also to the actual meeting, or if we want to get rid of it and there is consensus, let's just get rid of outreach, which I'm not going to agree with, but let's just be honest about it.
Thank you, Farzaneh. Sally, and then Joran. Sally.
Thank you, David. I hope it's just a point of clarification. So when the group meeting strategy working group proposals were made, the idea of the middle meeting, the meeting B, which we now call the policy forum, was partly to do outreach, as you just said, Farzaneh. You're absolutely right. It was also to focus on allowing the SOAC groups the time to work on policy. Now, in order to facilitate that, we took away chunks of work that go on at the other meetings. There is no GDD track at all. There are no public meetings at all. So bear in mind, just wanted to remind people of that. So the formats are not just different because they're shorter. And the reason for that was the policy forum was designed to be less conflict and by removing those tracks that improved the situation that we had in the previous one, the most similar one of which now is the meeting A, that's the first meeting of the year, the community forum. So we just need to remember that if we, by simply taking it up to 5 days or down to 5 days, we would also need to look at that question of what do you bring those tracks back in again? Do you take that? So, for example, if you made the all the meetings 5 days, you would have to look at that issue as well as the question of the timing of the meeting, of the length of the meeting. So just wanted to remind people that those things are not easy to separate.
Thank you, Sally. Joran, you are next.
Hi, everybody. Yes, I came up with the idea not calling things A, B, and C, and that was the intention of that was really to be more in our outreach, to be able to explain a little bit more what we did in the meetup. My intention was not to steer the meetings into something that didn't come out of the rhythm and tempo meeting, but I suddenly have an idea. Why, if you allow me and my team, why don't we do a check, which could, I think this discussion will be fruitful for. If we go back to the document or the decision that was made about the meeting strategy, and we try to do a checkbox of if we are following the principles in that one, and maybe we can agree or in this group, or you can agree in this group, where we maybe not fulfill what's in that decision or not. So we sort of could leave out where we are to do a check if we have implemented, or we can find a common sense of if we have implemented what was in that document the right way. I give this as a proposal to do this sort of check as a part of this discussion. Would that be a good idea?
Some comments on that. Donna Austin.
Thanks, David. Donna Austin. Joran, just in relation to that suggestion, I think it's, I hate to say this, but I think it's a little bit too simplistic. And one of the things I'd like to hope that the SOAC leaders could start to think about is, you know, what are we actually getting out of these meetings? And how can we improve on that? And understanding that we have 16 days during the year for face-to-face meetings, how can we use that time better? And in thinking about that, how do we build in the priorities for the 12 months to make sure that we can tick those boxes as well? So I think it's a little bit more than just going back to the meeting strategy working group recommendations. I think we need to move a little bit past that work and see how we can improve on it. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Donna. Any other comments? Nick, your hand is up. I'm sorry.
Thank you, David. This just proves that if you stay around long enough, your institutional knowledge becomes pretty deep. And I'll go back to the first policy forum. So I can remember the discussion, but I can't remember what the policy forum was, so just proving that my long-term memory is better than my short-term memory. But the policy forum had an outreach in it. You're all correct. It had an element of outreach. But when we took the four-day policy forum, then known as Meeting B, to the SOAC leaders in a meeting, they agreed that because of the shortened schedule, it was going to be very difficult to get everything the SOAC leaders needed to get done, not only policy development, but also the design of the policy forum as we know it now was for cross-community interaction as well. So they decided to downplay the outreach element so that they had enough time for their work, which is what everyone is saying. So we did take out some element of outreach. We do have some elements of outreach. Katrina would say that the CCNSO has outreach at the policy forum, I'm sure. So I think this is based back to the question on incremental changes. And I like Donna's approach to say, you know, let's all decide collectively what we need out of meetings and then approach it that way, as opposed to just looking at what we have and trying to reshape that a little bit. So there was outreach. There continues to be some element of outreach at what we know as the policy forum. But it is, if we actually looked back to the meeting strategy working group document, we would find outreach as an element which the SOAC leaders suggested running the first one, that there was not going to be enough time to do, to dedicate a full half day or three quarters of a day, whatever it was. So I just wanted to provide that element of background to add to this discussion there.
Thank you, Nick. Greg Shatton, then Alan, then Farzaneh. Greg, please.
Thanks. It's Greg Shatton for the record. I think that one of the to come back to the policy forum or policy and outreach forum again, I think one of the unfortunate factors was it ended up kind of being shortened twice, first being made shorter than your average meeting, and then ostensibly, in a way, shortened again to put more outreach time into it. So it was kind of like getting a haircut and then going out and coming back into the barber again. Second haircut was a little tight, which is why I would advocate adding a day if we're, because it's already kind of short, and for some people, the travel time equals the time on the ground. So I do think we need to have, if we're going to have time, room for outreach, we need to have time for outreach. Because there's just, we're already shortening policy. I felt we had an inadequate amount of time for IPC and CSG meetings to feed into policy efforts in the shortened meeting. That's been a continued challenge in those. Also, I think in terms of the size, as Nick notes, it's become not much smaller in footprint requirements than a so-called big meeting. So maybe we haven't made it unappealing enough, in a sense. I don't mean unappealing by, having it be too short or too complicated, but if it's basically still appealing to the full spectrum of potential ICANN attendees, either everybody basically gets involved in policy some of the time, just about, or we haven't made the meeting focused enough. So I guess the question is, who are we trying to, in essence, disinterest in the shorter meeting and the smaller meeting in order to make it smaller? Because so far, I mean, maybe it's been somewhat smaller, but it seems like it still basically ends up with, a lot of the same stuff, and maybe only if people who might consider themselves vendors, stay away. So I'm not sure what facts we have now about who's been staying away from the policy forums. And not that I want people to stay away, but it seems if you're going to have a smaller meeting, the question is, who's not coming? Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Alan, did you still want to say something?
Yes, I did. I don't know who put down my hand. I certainly didn't.
Then fine. You're next.
Thank you very much. I think Nick's recollection is very different from mine. When we were planning to be, I believe, in Panama, we being ALAC and at large, had a significant outreach program planned. That changed radically when we moved to Helsinki. And as I think Satish said in the chat, different ACs and SOs have different needs and perceptions of outreach. And one group, there were groups who, even when planning in Panama, were still looking at using the four days in the way they traditionally would have used 4 days, and not trying to devote a significant part of that to outreach. Different parts of the community have different needs in that area, so I think we have to be realistic in that. But certainly, some of us were planning to do very significant outreach in the meeting if we were in a venue where that was appropriate. Thank you. So far, we have not been for a June meeting. We managed to find locations where either there is no one to outreach to or the places to outreach, such as universities, are closed. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Farzaneh, do you still want to speak?
No, thank you, David.
Okay, very good. Any other comments on this topic of the incremental change? Okay. Nick, did you want to move on to the meeting date, since we have about a little less than 15 minutes left on our conference clock?
David, thank you. The meeting date is going to be a very short discussion, so I'd like to, if we can, stay on the issue of meeting location selection criteria and what the views are of this group as to whether or not the community wants to establish new criteria for selecting meeting venues. There was a great deal of this back and forth discussion, but I'm not sure that we wound up with any consensus as to what we should do and how we should do it. So may I pose that one final question to this group before I tackle meeting dates?
Would it be helpful to create a poll, Nick, or just want people to provide some of the comments either in the chat or here?
A poll would be very helpful, David. Thank you. Perhaps
okay.
a two-part question. The first one you have up there, thank you. And the second one is, if we do want to establish new criteria, What's the process?
Very good. We'll start with this first question for the temperature in the room. Should we add new rules or criteria to the selection of venues for ICANN meetings, and if so, which ones? Please take a look at that and express a view going one way or another. Donna Austin, while people are looking at their views and opinions, Donna, please, why don't I recognize you?
Yeah, thanks, David, and sorry for this question, but it strikes me that if you add this kind of selection criteria, then it becomes even more difficult for the board to make decisions because, to some extent, these criteria are subjective. So while it's great in practice to, you know, have these principles, I think it becomes an even bigger challenge for the board when they have to make, or Nick's team when they have to make these decisions. So I just wonder whether that's something that's been considered as well. Thanks.
Alan Greenberg, Olivier, then Farnese. Alan.
Thank you. I'm not sure how to answer the question because I don't know. There's, in my mind, a difference between rules and absolute criteria, or rules and criteria that you consider but are not necessarily absolute, and that makes a big difference. So should these issues be considered just like visas and a number of other issues? Certainly. Should they be absolute, or should we give the board some level of discretion to balance things? Yes.
Thank you. Olivier?
Thanks very much, David. Olivier Capanablo speaking. And I support what Donna said. I'm concerned that if we start putting more criteria, it's going to make it even harder to select suitable locations. The other concern I have is that by having these criteria, which are not purely technical criteria, we're now starting to politicize venue choice. And as you know, there's been in diplomatic circles, there's been lots of discussions for as long as I can remember it regarding the politics of engagement, whether if a country does not have a leadership that engages in a certain way, respecting international law, human rights, etc., should that country be shut off or should there be some, or blocked off, or should there be some engagement to try and change it from inside? We're really going into a political discussion here, and I'd rather keep this out. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Farnese.
Thank you, David. So, as I said before, my personal opinion is that these criteria of gender, human rights, and democratic principles are arbitrary. However, NCUC members in the discussion I had with them, which I forwarded the email of the CEO to them, they were of the opinion that there should be more elaborate criteria. What those criteria should be, we have not agreed on anything. But I think what comes on top of the list is more elaborate rules on visa issues and visa help, especially on the locations. So that was one of the issues. The other thing was human rights, that they also said, some of our members at NCUC argued that there are like concrete criterion for human rights issues that we can consider by looking at other organizations and see how they pick their locations. And for example, they provide safe space for some and do other things. So I don't think we can just take a poll and say yes or no to the question, because should we add new rules and criteria? And NCUC says yes. If so, which one? Then I think we have a disagreement on which principles or how it should be tackled. But on the first question, yes. So these are two questions. We cannot do yes or no on them. Thanks.
Thank you, Farnese. I think we're getting some good views and clearer views. I know Joran will make some closing remarks, but Nick, did you want to quickly provide us with the meeting's date, and then we'll try to come up with some next steps?
Very good, David. Thank you. We have looked at meeting dates, potential meeting dates in 2021, 22, and 23. You may be aware that meeting dates through 2020 are already published. We're going to take those lists of dates along with all of the international, national, and religious holidays, as well as community, in similar community conferences that we avoided, and we're going to post them for our 40-day public comment period to make sure that we are not missing something extremely important. Now, you know, frankly, I'm sure just because of this, of the way we have to do this and our limitation on dates, there'll be some small issues. But you'll see it. We're going to post it on Monday. I didn't want to do it before this call, but we're going to post it on Monday for a public comment period. And we welcome your feedback and feedback from the community on the dates that have been proposed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nick. We appreciate that. And the notice that this will be as part of a public comment forum coming out very, very soon, and we'll make sure that we publicize it within the SOAC communities and their groups. With that, we're coming to the close of our hour. I'd like to turn it over to Joran, who has some other comments and some comments to make. Please, Joran.
Thank you very much. First of all, thank you for taking the time to have this conversation. It's been very enlightening to me. I know that I still, after 14 months, lack history, and therefore sometimes I miss the finer points in discussion, and for that I can only say that hopefully time will change it. So thank you for taking the time to enlighten me about discussions I maybe should know about. I get a feeling that it's a two-sided discussion. One of them comes from the meeting selections criteria. I know it's hard to answer yes or no. On the other hand, we have to have a rule book. But let's leave that aside for a second. There are discussions that we have to make, and it seems like the majority of this call thinks it's not a bad idea to at least visit some of those decisions that has been made and see if there are changes that can be made, especially when it comes to pointing out outreach, maybe adding days or taking down days. So I have a very humble proposal, and that is that we try from the org to encompass some of those discussions, and we'll send you out with our recognition of this discussion with a proposal to you as SONAC leaders to see that if we can find a couple of points where we can improve the current status and the... You know, it's like we have two things here. One of them is we have a boat, let's fix that boat, and we can make proposals on that. There is another discussion to be held as well, which, for instance, Donna brought up, which is more of, do we need another boat? Which that discussion, for me, belongs so much in the community, but if we... I would do the first boat to see if there are any changes we can do during the current format. And maybe pick up on the point, if you would like to, about a new boat in another setting. So we separate those two discussions. So my proposal is that we will take from this meeting to present to you what our recollection is for this meeting when it comes to length, what we do at the meetings, to see if there are things that we should adjust in that one and come back to you as an SOAC leader. And then I leave to you, really, to come up, should we start a discussion about the meeting strategy overall and how to handle that? Is that okay as a proposal at the conclusion of this meeting?
I am not seeing any hands, and I think there seems to be at this stage, a general view that would be a very good next steps, Joran. So we thank you for that, and that way the community leaders can look at that as we kind of summarize, as you point out, the discussion. Again, looking at the incremental at one point and a separate discussion on the fundamental, more major change.
There seems to be some comments in the chat right now.
There are comments in the chat that one is yes, move on, another one is convinced us or confused us. As far as today's talking about criteria, we'll capture the discussions.
David,
Sally, any other? Yes.
I just wanted to make a clarification. So Farzaneh's actually just mentioned this. She's quite right. Earlier in the call, we had a poll saying should we introduce new criteria, and the answer was no. But that was for the specifically around location, the choice of location. So that is something that we can reflect in the recommendation paper. Now, obviously, there was a different discussion about the format, which is what Joran was referring to, but I just wanted to distinguish that.
Thank you, Sally. That is correct. Farzadeh, your hand is up.
Sorry to take your time. Just a point of clarification, because I have to report this back to NCUC. So according to the poll, we are not going to come up with additional criteria for choosing the location of ICANN meeting in the near future. Did I get that right? Can I report this?
Yes, there was a general view to the... Yes, you are, please.
Oh, I was just saying the same thing. That is at least my impression out of this call. But as several has pointed out, there is a fine-tuning in some of those things relating to visa and other, which I know that Nick already takes into security, visa, things that we already consider. But that's my general feeling, yes.
Okay, any other comments? So it's clear about the general views on the meeting locations, with the priority being engagement and rotation around the globe. Meeting format, indeed a discussion paper that would take into account the discussions today and try to put it in a format and way so that the leaders can clearly see the choices there, an incremental change, and moving from there. With that, if there are no other comments, we are 3 minutes after the hour. And yes, that would be once that discussion paper, as Joran points out, there would then be a facilitated discussion around that paper. With that, I think unless Sally, is your hand up for a final comment? Or
no, sorry, that's an old hand.
Okay. With that, thank you, everyone, Joran, for your suggestions. And community leaders for your inputs and comments and participation today on this important call on the discussion of the meeting venue selection, format, and meeting dates going forward. With that, I'd like to wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be. And again, talk to you on other working group calls or other meetings. Thank you so much.